Let's pray together. Lord, as we have read and heard from your holy word this morning about the calling of the disciples and them sending them out into a short mission journey, mission trip, Lord, we know that you call us and are sending us out as well. We pray, O God, that this morning our hearts and our minds may be open to receive a word from you that will help us and strengthen us and encourage us in our daily living as we strive to be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ. We ask this in his name. Amen.
Amen.
Whenever we leave our homes, whether for work or to run errands or to visit a family or friend or for whatever reason, we expect to return in a relatively brief amount of time. Even when we go on vacation, there is an anticipated return date. The Malden Reed's adult book selection for 2016 was entitled The Martian. And if you didn't have a chance to read the book, you may have seen the film that was based on the book that featured Matt Damon as a scientist who gets stranded on Mars during the first manned mission to the Red Planet. He uses his training, his wits, and a lot of perseverance to survive while his friends work to bring him back home to Earth. Imagine, however, if the mission had been to go to Mars with no intention of ever coming back. Imagine leaving behind everything and everyone you've ever known, including spouse and family, to go to a planet where you will spend the rest of your days living and surely dying in a hostile environment and no scenery but red rocks and dust everywhere. Sounds like a depressing movie plot to me, but it's an idea that is actually being proposed by a Dutch nonprofit organization called Mars One. The idea is to put 4 people on Mars as an initial colony in the year 2030, followed by new crews every 2 years. Mars will be their permanent home where they'll live, work, and study the planet for the benefit of science, exploration, and the human race. Now, hearing that, we might think it'd be difficult to get people to sign up for such a one-way mission. But when the search for astronauts began in 2013, more than 200,000 people, applicants, expressed their desire to go where no one has gone and from whence no one will return. Mars One, the organization, has whittled that list of applicants down from 200,000 to 100 people, divided evenly between male and female, and they range from those who have their doctorates to those who barely have a high school education and are unemployed in their 20s. The most important qualification for candidates is their perceived ability to handle living on a big planet with just a few other people, and their acceptance of the fact that they will never return to Earth. The organization, Mars One, can teach those people the skills like engineering and farming and medicine. But the things that the organization cannot teach is determination, perseverance, and the ability to be comfortable with risk. One of the people who has made the cut is a 50-year-old entrepreneur from San Francisco, and he says, quote, "I've always had a curiosity for all things science, especially when it comes to space exploration." He would be leaving his wife behind to take the journey, although she says she shares his curiosity. He goes on to say, it's a one-way ticket to anywhere. I would probably die on Earth if I stayed here too. Skeptics doubt that the mission will be sustainable for very long. An MIT analysis of the mission predicts that people could start dying from oxygen-related issues in just 68 days. The technology just doesn't seem to be there yet to make the mission like this one to last for very long. And Mars One is not the only one planning to send people to Mars. For NASA is planning to send a mission to Mars in the same year, 2030. But they plan for their crew to come back instead of becoming permanent residents, thus solving the sustainability problem. It's an intriguing and terrifying proposition, a mission from which there is no return, no turning back, no coming back. Most of us would likely take a pass on that. As followers of Jesus, however, we know that he offers us a very similar sort of one-way mission. However, it's a mission that's not about leaving this world behind, but rather venturing into it for the purpose of colonizing it as citizens of the kingdom of God. In other words, it's not an otherworldly mission, but a mission that is certainly for this world. But like the one-way ticket to Mars, it's also an extremely dangerous mission from which there may be no return. It's a mission that could cost us everything. Jesus is the visionary for this mission and demonstrates to his potential crew how it works. In the first part of today's scripture from the ninth chapter, we read that Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and sickness. The crowds who came to Jesus were living in an unsustainable environment. They were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Israel's rulers, both kings and religious leaders, had failed them over the generations, leaving them longing for a new spiritual home. And Jesus pointed to this future home, a home that was breaking into the present even then through his teachings about the kingdom of God. He called this home the reign of God, or the rule of God on earth. The reference to the harvest that we heard about was sometimes used as an image of God's return. And while the harvest was plentiful, the people ripe for this new world to break in, the number of initial crew members available for the journey would be very small. Jesus puts out a call to ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into that harvest. And it was and is a prayer and a call that can lead to receiving a one-way ticket. A few, as we find in Scripture, had responded to Jesus' call. In verses in chapter 10, those few are named. An initial 12 made that cut. Remember, Mars One was 200,000 down to 100. And here, that crowd that was been around Jesus, out of that, there have been 12 selected. And by all standards of qualification, they are a ragtag group. Simple fisherman, tax collector, a revolutionary, a loudmouth, and even a shifty betrayer among them. Jesus gathers them, nonetheless, to train them in the skills that they need. He gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and sickness. These were the skills necessary for demonstrating the spiritual and physical healing that are part of the new world, the kingdom. They had been training with Jesus, these 12, for quite some time, and now it was time to launch, not for them to go out. And actually, this is what the word apostle means. Apostles are sent ones that Jesus was sending out. But before they are sent on their permanent mission, they need further training. Sort of like the Mars One mission, which is setting up a fake outpost that will look like Mars in order to train their team, assess their skills, and their psychological abilities to stay with the mission. Jesus sets up a similar training scenario for his disciples by sending them out on a short-term mission that will foreshadow the greater mission upon which they will embark after his resurrection and ascension. So this is the mini testing ground for them. It's a training mission designed with several components. First is the specific target. The disciples were to avoid going to the Gentiles, the non-Jews, the Greeks, and the Samaritans. These people would be part of the larger mission that would come later. For now, the training ground was the lost sheep of the house of Israel. They were to go to the Jews and talk to them about Jesus in this new reign, of this new world, this new kingdom of God that was breaking in upon them. And there was also a specific goal for this mission. The primary focus was to proclaim the good news that this new reality, the kingdom of heaven, has come near. And that proclamation would not be merely through words, however, but also through the specific actions that Jesus himself had demonstrated and given those apostles the authority to do themselves, curing the sick and casting out demons. This mission that Jesus was designing for them also had a sustainability plan. We might expect that the disciples would be doing a lot of logistical planning to make this mission happen, but Jesus tells them up front that they will be living off whatever their hosts provide. They are to take no money, no extra gear, and only carry the clothes on their backs. They will be completely dependent on the hospitality of strangers. What this really means is that they will be fully dependent on God to supply their needs. And they will enter both welcoming and hostile environments. And they need to be prepared to act accordingly. And also, this mission had a realistic picture for their future. In the verses immediately following those that were read this morning, Jesus continues with the training and he warns these disciples that this mission will be a dangerous one. The training will give them a taste, a sample of that danger. The sent ones will be sent as sheep among wolves. They face danger from hostile religious and civil authorities. They will face alienation and separation from their families. They will suffer for their association with Jesus. And yet, they are not to fear, because God will be with them. The sent ones, those apostles, will face all of this and more, as the story of the New Testament reveals. As we read later, we'll recognize that. For 11 of these 12 will eventually go out into the Roman world to carry out the final mission, that big mission, and they won't come back. Most are killed in horrific ways, while others are exiled and banished from the people and the world that they know and love. Despite the risk, however, they will go because they believe their actions and their sacrifices will ultimately benefit the world. They will be pioneers of a new creation God is bringing to bear, colonists of the kingdom of God who point the way for others by their teaching and their example. That same mission is offered to each of us, the Church of Jesus Christ. The problem is that it's easy for us to see the church as a safe and secure place from which to see the world and its darkness from a distance. It's out there. We're good in here. And we sort of want to say, we want to keep the world at least arm's length, if not outside our walls. We forget that Jesus has given us the church as a training ground and a launching pad for his mission in the world. As such, we need to be asking ourselves questions similar to those the first disciples must have asked themselves as they left home on that mini mission trip. We need to ask, who is our target on this mission that Jesus is calling us to? Who are the specific people in our community to whom Jesus is sending us? What are we willing to risk in order to reach them? We next need to ask, what is our goal? Are we proclaiming the good news of God's kingdom, both present and future, through both our words and our actions? Where are we working to confront evil in our community? How are we participating in the healing of the bodies and souls of our neighbors? Next, we need to ask, what is our sustainability plan? Are we hoarding resources as a means of sustaining the church as an institution? Or are we depending on God for our daily bread while sharing our resources with others in need? Are we offering peace to our neighbors and to the strangers whom we encounter? Or are we offering condemnation and fear? And finally, we need to ask, what are we willing to risk? Are we willing to be at odds with the culture around us because of our faith in Christ? Are we willing to risk ridicule and persecution because we proclaim Christ and minister in ways that reflect His kingdom? Are we willing to stand for what is right, what is just, and what is true when the world seeks to conform us to its evil ways? Signing up for the Jesus mission can be a one-way ticket. Jesus only promised his disciples a cross, which was and is a one-way journey from which the only return is resurrection. As Jesus put it, whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake will find it. Many of the recruits for the Mars One mission are ready to board a spaceship to the red planet with no hope of return. One of them has been quoted as saying, "In terms of new ideas, you always take a risk. So that's a risk that's worth taking, because sometimes the outcomes of those risks are well worth it," unquote. Jesus would say that there is no risk more worth it than the mission of the kingdom. Are we willing to sign up for the Jesus mission, or are we willing to re-enlist and dedicate ourselves to the mission of Jesus Christ? Let's pray together. Lord, many of us have heard your call to service. And at times, Lord, that has taken us places that we did not expect. But Lord, we place our trust in you. Just as those first 12 heard your call, answered that call, received training from you, and then went out to serve, but also came back to Jesus and received more training, but then encountered the worst thing in their lives, but ended up being the best thing in their lives, was the crucifixion of Christ and ultimately his resurrection. And then Jesus gave their final marching orders just before he ascended to heaven and said to go into the world and to do all of that in his name. Lord, we've received that command as well, and that commission. We pray, oh God, that we may hear you call and we may either enlist for the first time or sign up again and rededicate our lives to your mission, that we may share with others the grace and the mercy that's offered through you and through your Spirit. Lord, be with us wherever you send us. Help us to say yes and send me. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.